7 past the hour, it's Faith Radio. What's the truth behind the Obama administration's big payoff to Iran? Joining us to provide some background and analysis on this story is Genevieve Wood. She's Senior Fellow in Communications for the Heritage Foundation and a senior contributor to the Daily Signal, which is Heritage's multimedia news organization. Good morning, Genevieve.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good. And I should mention that you and I actually had a chance to work together during my time at Focus on the Family, and you helped me prepare for interviews with some not-so-friendly reporters at some of our major media outlets. So you said, okay, when the MSNBC reporter asks you this, this is what you say. So thank you.
That's right. Well, it's good to be on your show, and I'm glad to see what you're doing. Terrific.
We appreciate you. Okay, let's unpack this story. About 7 months ago or so, the Obama administration quietly shipped $400 million to the Iranian government, basically a bunch of cash on pallets. It happened on the same day 5 American hostages were released. Coincidence or ransom payment?
Well, the Obama administration would say it's all coincidence, nothing to see here. This just happened. But what's interesting about it, Bill, is that on the day that this happened, the White House held a big ceremony at the White House where the president spoke and talked about this historic deal that we had just signed with Iran and how the hostages were coming home and so forth. But funny, he left out this small detail of $400 million we had, as you rightly pointed out, put on an unmarked cargo plane and sent over to Iran. And here's the reality. Everybody else, every other point you look at, including senior Iranian officials, say it was a ransom payment. So the White House says it's not, but Iran says it is. And frankly, even if it is just perception, which I don't think it is, that's what matters, because if they think that's what it is, that tells every other kind of thug regime like them, America will be in the business of paying ransom for hostages.
And there's a lot of thug regimes around in this world, so we got to be careful. The president and John Kerry say, well, this was a down payment on a much larger settlement over an arms deal, but they really haven't been able to or been willing, I guess, to answer many questions. What does that lack of a clear response tell you, Genevieve?
Well, it tells me that, once again, the White House is very interested in getting what they want. And if it means going around Congress to get it, going around American law to get it, that's what this president's done on numerous occasions, including immigration policy and the like. And this is another one of those examples. Congress has asked the administration point blank, how did you spend the money? Where did the money go? How did this take place? And the administration today has refused to answer those questions. U.S. law says no U.S. dollars can be given from the U.S. to Iran. That's just U.S. law. So what did they do? They sent U.S. dollars to banks in Netherlands and in Switzerland and had them changed over to foreign currencies, euros, Swiss francs, and other currencies. And then that's what they actually used to pay them. Now, I don't think Iran really cares what they got. What they got was money. They got cash, which is what they were looking for. But that was the way the Obama administration going around U.S. law, I would say breaking the spirit of the law without actually breaking the word of the law.
So we just basically exchange our currency for a foreign currency, and so we're not giving U.S. dollars. Several Republican leaders have been really going after the president on this issue. Congressman Mike Pompeo, he's a member of the House Intelligence Committee. He said, I want to know what Obama administration employees were involved with on this, and how long did they serve in prison? There is no doubt they violated federal law when they transferred U.S. taxpayer funds to a state sponsor of terrorism. Those are some serious fighting words. Do you agree with that assessment, Genevieve?
Yeah, they are serious words because this is a serious matter. And again, look, I think Congress has felt stung for the second time on this issue because, the Iran deal was something that the Obama administration with John Kerry leading totally negotiated without really giving Congress any say-so whatsoever. They claimed, again, it's one of the things, this isn't really a treaty, even though they're committing the U.S. to certain things and taking away certain things the U.S. had been doing towards Iran, including sanctions, without getting the approval of Congress. So I think Congress is already feeling a little miffed at the whole situation, as they rightly should have. And this is kind of the second bite at the apple for the Obama administration. So it's serious business. It's basically one branch of government saying we'll go it alone, and that's been typical of this administration that was going to be the most transparent in history. I would hardly call this deal transparent.
Well, I think I would say I'd agree with you on that. About a year ago, the president was celebrating this historic nuclear deal with Iran. Several defense experts have said at the time, including many of Heritage Foundation, it was a very bad deal. Remind us of what this deal involved and tell us whether Iran has kept its promises.
Well, the goal of the deal put out by the administration is that we were going to stop and prevent Iran from ever, making a nuclear weapon. The reality is there's no evidence that this deal is actually going to do that. It may delay them in some cases, but there's a number of holes in it. One, for example, U.S. inspectors and foreign inspectors, and for some sites, you remember the whole thing, 24/7, we can go in anytime, anywhere, and inspect what we need to. Well, it turns out that wasn't exactly true. There's some sites that we can't go in and inspect 24/7, and we may have to take 3 weeks to a month to get in. Well, that gives Iran all sorts of time to play hide-and-seek with whatever they don't want the outside world to see. The reality is they gave up on economic sanctions. And again, those were working, which is one reason Iran wanted this cash for hostages. They take the money that we give, the rest of the world gives, and now flows through the Iranian economy. They don't give that to their people. They're giving that to their friends in Hezbollah and other thug regimes around to pay for terrorist activities. So there's a number of bad things wrong with the deal. We know about a month ago, a German intelligence agency came out and said, We've been watching Iran trying to do foreign transactions to purchase equipment, the kind of equipment you would only use for nuclear technology and to build nuclear weapons. So, and again, they have no track record of ever upholding an agreement they've done with the UN or other international bodies. So it's a bad deal for the U.S., but the Obama administration wanted something for their legacy, and they got it.
Very troubling. Our guest, Genevieve Wood from the Heritage Foundation. We'll take a quick break and be right back here on the Faith Radio Network. Back 16 past the hour at the Faith Radio Network. So great to have you with us wherever you might be listening along our network today. Maybe you're tuned in Duluth or Fargo or Sioux Falls. Maybe you're listening in the Twin Cities or Madison, Wisconsin, maybe even in Hartford, Connecticut. Thanks so much for joining us. If you're new to Faith Radio, why don't you get in touch with us? We have a free welcome packet for you. Tell you about the network. Got some nice resources in there for you. Just go to myfaithradio.com and request your free welcome packet today. My guest is Genevieve Wood. She's with the Heritage Foundation. We've been talking about the deal with Iran that the Obama administration made. Probably a bad deal to begin with, but it just seems to get worse with this big payment of $400 million cash on pallets delivered in an unmarked cargo plane. The Iranians say, yeah, this was hostage money. This was ransom money to release those Americans. The Obama administration says no. Genevieve, from the 30,000-foot level, how has the Obama administration's dealings with Iran impacted our broader foreign relations with other countries?
Well, I think what it shows is that at the end of the day, the U.S. is going to back down. I mean, I think, Iran, are they fearful of the U.S.? No, they've been able to pressure this administration to get what they wanted. I mean, the Iran nuclear deal would not have happened if the U.S. hadn't been sitting at the negotiating table. They wouldn't have just made this agreement if France had shown up and a few other countries. It involved the U.S.'s endorsement. And from the get-go, we basically have been saying okay to what they have wanted for years. I mean, for example, the $1.7 billion that the Obama administration says, well, we were just paying them back this money they wanted. This has been a 35-year disagreement with Iran about this $1.7 billion that they claim belongs to them. 35 years, that's Republican and Democratic administrations for 35 years who have said, no, we're not giving you that money because you're involved in terrorism. And as a matter of fact, there's more money they want. And a U.S. court has said that money is going actually to the victims of people who have been victims of your terrorist activities. So only the Obama administration is really truly seeking, it seems like, to get along with Iran. And I think that what it says to them and what it says to other players in the world, whether you're talking about Russia or Syria, is that, again, this is an administration that draws red lines and then doesn't do anything when the other side crosses it.
How has this affected our relationship with Israel? One of the missiles that Iran tested, what did it say on it in Hebrew?
Yeah, basically, you know, it was a Israel, you die message that they had on the side of one of the weapons that they tested. Exactly right. And this, again, this is since they signed the deal. This is a ballistic missile test, not a nuclear weapon test, but a ballistic missile is what you would put a nuclear warhead on once you had the nuclear warhead. So testing ballistic missiles, again, not a violation of the nuclear deal, but a violation of a treaty with the UN already. They just did that recently. And right, it says to Israel, our real strong friend in the Middle East, we're not going to be there for you. We're actually more interested in making deals and doing things with these other countries that don't have your interest or the rest of the free world's interest, frankly, in mind. We're going to play with them, and you guys are on your own.
Give us just a feel. I don't think a lot of Americans, especially, unfortunately, there's a lot of Americans that don't know their geography. But if you get out a world map and you look at the proximity of Iran's border to Israel, and of course, we know Israel is a very small nation, very narrow and small. What are we talking? I mean, obviously, Netanyahu has some big concerns here.
Yeah, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't take a ballistic missile to go thousands of miles to go from Iran to Israel. They're next door. I mean, this is why, you know, I think they understand more than anybody the real threat here, because they are, you know, the target number one. They'll be the easiest target. They're one of the number one targets for Iran and have been for years. I mean, if you look at the Middle East map, and as you rightly point out, I went over to Turkey, for example, about 2 years ago. And in looking at the map, preparing for the trip, I was like, wow, this is like being amongst, you know, let's say you're in New Hampshire and here's Vermont over here and here's Maine over here. I mean, it's that tight together, a lot of these countries. It's not, you know, on the other side of the world for people in Israel. It's next door to them.
And of course, the Israelis have lived with the fear of, you know, missiles raining down on them for some time. And we can't even comprehend that. Being in the type of country, the type of geography that we have. So we have a presidential election coming up in less than 90 days. What does the Iranian deal mean for our next president and for our national security?
Well, the next president has the ability to say we're going to scrap the deal or we're going to make serious revisions to it. I mean, this is not a treaty. So therefore, you know, the president could come in and they wouldn't even have to go through Congress and say, we're going to cut this and we're going to start over. That's going to be hard because, you know, some things have been laid into place. But I think the next president needs to come in and say, we will not just do whatever Iran wants. We're going to revisit this thing. We're going to probably put economic sanctions back in. Iran's going to have to live by what they agree to, or we're going to make sure they get no money. We cut them off from any funds, any international transaction that's going to help them be more better or be better proponents of terrorism. So it's imperative. And that's not just true with Iran. This goes into our fight with ISIS and the terrorism that we're seeing around the world. I think all of this plays in together. Currently, those countries, those regimes do not fear the U.S. They don't think we're going to truly try to stop them. And I think it's important the next president changes people's perception around the world.
Well, the kumbaya approach to foreign policy is just not working because, and we've talked about this many times on this program, there's a worldview that says, well, if we just have a sit-down discussion, if we just talk it out, we're talking about countries and leaders, including Putin, by the way, that have a very different view of world relationships and power.
That's right. But they're going to push as far as they can. And if they see a weakness at all, if they see any tepidness in terms of how a country might respond, they're going to push. And I think what Obama has proven is that when they push, I mean, if this started, let's not maybe at the very beginning, but go back to Syria, go back to when President Obama said, drawing the line in the sand, if you use any of these type of weapons on your people, that's going to be the final straw. What happens? there's proof Assad used chemical weapons and killed many people there, and the administration has done nothing. So when you stake out ground and you don't back up your word, people have a tendency to believe you don't really mean it. And I think time and again, this administration has come across weak because they are.
Mm. Genevieve Wood from the Heritage Foundation, thank you so much for your insights this morning. Certainly a matter all of us need to be praying about. There are some dangerous places in the world, and there's some dangerous leaders, and we need to learn how to deal with them with strength. Just harking back to Ronald Reagan and his approach to foreign policy, I think all of us have to respect that strength and that verification that is so necessary. So thank you, Genevieve.
Yeah, trust but verify.
There you
thank
go.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you. 25 past the hour. This is Faith Radio.